Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Shift the Shore Radio. Radio.
Terrific defense by Wade and a nice rebound by Bosch. Here comes Wayne for the bomb.
You can see it coming all the way. LeBron was up ahead of him in the right lane.
Take a look around, tears from their eyes, knees on the ground, money in the sky. Take a look around, ain't shit nice, praying for my life, hope I make it through the night. Take a look around.
And he drives it to center field, that ball's deep. Back to Schaefer, at the wall.
Take a look around.
My goodness, an absolute bomb.
Take a look around.
Reggie Bush. With a big hole, hurtling a defender, and there he goes! And the dagger for the Miami Dolphins!
Take a look.
This is the Southernmost Sports Wrap, only at Ship to Shore Radio.
Alright, the Z-Man's back on. Hootie, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, it's a rough start to a show. Sometimes the signal just drops. I don't know, I have to start it echoing and everything. But, alright. Start this again. I welcome, I guess you could say, my new co-host, Hootie, on the show. He's been on two of my last three shows, and I guess the listeners have spoken. I don't know. Seems to like you a lot.
Hey, this is it. The people have spoken, and I'm glad to be on, and I'm glad to be talking with you about sports. We usually do it, you know, when you're not on the radio or not on the internet, but, you know, it's good to be talking about it, you know, on the internet and let everybody else hear, you know, what we got to say.
Hey, I just want to see if you say that crazy shit on the air, so let's see if I put you up to the test. I don't know. But, yeah, normally I will have it Thursday nights, but like I said before I cut off, Dark Knight Rises is tomorrow. I think anybody can relate to that. So, you know, I got a ticket already, you know. Can't be sitting around having a radio show of Dark Knight going on. Hopefully, y'all can understand. But we're on Ship to Shore Radio on blog.radio.com. And Ship to Shore Radio, just for you guys listening, you know, we've been doing shows for a while, but the show, Ship to Shore Radio, is actually going to go 24/7. We're having a show every night, at least for now. So stay tuned every day on the show. But don't look for me on Wednesdays, look for me on Thursdays. And let's kick it off. What the show is really about, sports. And just the first thing I wrote down, how about the USA defeating Brazil 80-69? Was their final exhibition game on a final exhibition game on home soil. I believe they played in Washington, D.C. Apparently they were down 10 points, but rallied. LeBron James, 30 points. And I actually have...
I mean, they rallied to win. This is supposed to be the best dream team ever, supposedly, according to Kobe, better than, you know, the original dream team. And they rallied to win by, what, 11 points? Was that what it was, 11 points? I mean,
they were down 10. They won by 11.
Exactly. They won by 11. You know, if you can't win by 20 or more, you can't say you're better than the original Dream Team. Because you know what?
Kobe didn't say that he was better than the Dream Team. He just said that
they could beat him. They could beat him. But, you know, you need to start beating your competitors. But you know what? That also leads into, you know, what is the big controversy in, you know, the NBA right now is that, you know, All the players right now, half the players that are playing in the NBA are from foreign countries. And they're all back in their countries playing for their teams respectively. You know, Steve Nash plays for Canada. He doesn't play for us. He plays for Canada. And that's an interesting thing. You know, you got all these players who are really, like, seasoned veterans out there playing for their home team, you know, their home countries. So it makes it more difficult. So, I mean, is that where the new Dream Team is going to have their problems with winning? Is because they're playing against the same player they play against normally, but now they're playing for this, these other teams? Or, you know, are they really not that good? That's where the question comes in. Because when Jordan played, it wasn't the same thing.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Whoever's really in charge of all this is, I mean, obviously David Stern's a big deal about it too, but to me, they're trying to ruin it. You know, this has been a, you know, the NBA has been around for, I guess, what, 30, 40 years actually as the NBA. And, you know, the Olympics have been around forever. And, you know, who are these guys now to say that there's these new rules and limits and if you're from another country, you can't go play? Well, you know, now you're going to start pissing people off because you're going to start getting people to choose. I mean, maybe they're going to choose the NBA because they want, like, once every four years that the NBA competes for a medal, but it's just it's ridiculous. You know, why are they making such a big deal about it? You know, you want to play for your country. In reality, it's how many games are they really playing? 5, 6 games, maybe 10 games. I don't know, but I think it's a little ridiculous.
Well, I mean, what it comes down to is the commissioner and the NBA itself here in America is that we should win the gold medal every Olympics. And we don't want another team to give us a challenge, or we don't want to possibly lose the gold medal because we allow players that we're paying on a regular basis to go play against us, who we, you know, and we don't even consider them the best players. You know, if they don't make our team, then they go play for their home team. But, you know, we already tell you you're not the best player. We don't want you on our team. And then all of a sudden we tell you, oh, no, but you can't play for the other team because we don't want you to prevent us from winning. That to me, that's ridiculous. That's just us trying to dominate and get the gold medal every Olympics. You're trying to use the Olympics tonight.
Everybody's just crying about this, you know? That's what I feel about it. You know, everybody's trying to, like, make it complicated. Like, just if you're the best at what you do, you're telling me that you can't play? I mean, what's the difference between USA basketball and swimming? You're telling me if Michael Phelps, I don't know how old he is right now, 31, 32. You're telling me if they made a rule like that in swimming, that you're going to take him off of our roster, even though he's our best swimmer? I mean, I know they're under contract with the NBA, but at the same time, it's one thing. It's to play for this country. You know, you're representing this country, and I don't know why these guys care so much. I mean,
my point about that is that if you tell a player you're not good enough to play for the United States on the Olympic team, why would you tell them at the same time, well, you're not good enough to play for us, but your home country wants you to play for them, but we won't allow you to play for them, but we won't allow you to play for us either. We won't allow you to represent us because you're the best, but we won't allow you to go home to your home country and play for them. That doesn't make sense. I mean, they should be allowed to play for their own home country. Now, the whole thing that Kobe's coming up with, you know, which I understand is that, you know, now they're talking about not allowing NBA players over the age of 25 to get into the NBA, into the Olympics. That's a whole different story. You know, then if you're going to do that, you need to do that, like, worldwide. Tell the whole world that there's nobody allowed over 25 to be in the Olympics. Don't just limit it to the USA basketball team because, you know, we have all these players who are great. You can't just say, all right, nobody above 25 can play on the USA Olympic team, but there are people, swimmers like Michael Phelps, who can be over 25. And allowed to participate. If you're going to do that, you need to do the whole Olympics like that, not just the USA basketball team. And I can understand Kobe's fury at the fact that they're saying, oh, you know, USA basketball team shouldn't be allowed to have people over 25 on there. You know, the same time we...
Yeah. All right. Sorry about that, everybody. I can't really control why my phone is acting up. Or maybe it's blocked on radio. I don't even know. Well, all right. Call back in. Everything's good. And just moving on to our next subject. How about NFL news? Finally, I think the biggest name has really been talked about just for a long time. Drew Brees, Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard not found a home yet, but Drew Brees has. At least he's staying home with a 5-year, $100 million contract. I believe he said $60 million was guaranteed. He's getting $37 million this year. I mean, I don't know how Drew Brees is feeling to begin with because, I mean, he just set the most passing yards in a season, shattering Dan Marino's record. And he doesn't deserve a max contract. I would have been pissed, and I thought he was going to be leaving the team after everything else has been going on with the bounties and everything, but I guess he really likes that team, and he got the contract he deserved. Do you think he deserved, I mean, a max contract? I mean, what else would keep him from getting that?
No, I think he deserves every bit of that contract. I think they kind of strung him out a little bit because he did testify honestly at the, you know, at the hearings about the bounty hearings. So, you know, they were worried about what that would cost the team because he said he was going to testify honestly. You know, he said he wasn't going to lie or cover up anything. He was going to testify to exactly what he saw or heard. And luckily, you know, for the team, he wasn't there during the defensive meetings, and that's where all these things were. So he didn't really have to, you know, say anything bad about them or get them in any worse trouble than they are already in. But at the same time, the team, the franchise, the whole nine was mad at him for coming forward the way he did and just saying, I'm going to do what's right. And they should really be mad at him. I mean, this would have affected his career. If he didn't step forward the way he did and say, I'm just going to, you know, answer any questions you ask me, if they chose to fire him, let him go, not renew his contract, he'd have been sitting out there hanging in the wind with other teams, with the league. So he came forth, he did what he did. It didn't affect the team. They waited until they found out if it affected the team or not. And then they gave him the best contract they could give him, which is great for him, great for everything. I'm very happy that, you know, he's still there. That it really didn't affect him, and I'm glad he did the right thing to just answer any questions legitimately as far as what he saw, what he heard. And now he's in the clear as far as the league is concerned. The team is happy because it didn't affect them. It could have if he had heard the wrong things, but it didn't. So now they gave him this contract, and they're happy. So it's all great. Let's roll forward. Let's see what happens next year with the Saints. I think they got a lot of great things looking, you know, looking ahead.
Yeah, I mean, just to go back on the whole Brees thing, also the last few years, obviously when he got picked up by the Saints, he was a question, and the Saints were the only team that took a risk on him. So basically they've been getting Brees for a really small contract for the past 5-6 years. So, you know, now you're going to sit and after you just got a bargain and you're still fighting over that. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, you don't want to lie anymore. We've seen the best players just tarnished because of those things. Look at Roger Clemens and everything else. So I don't think there's any hard feelings. He just told the truth. I mean, he's got to protect his own. I mean, he probably had nothing to do with this, so why is he going to sit there? He's done everything that he can to do the right thing. He's not going to mess it up for other people that want to act like idiots. So I don't blame him at all. Just moving on really quickly about the it kind of just seems like it's the Joe Paterno trial now. I mean, nobody's even talking about Jerry Sandusky. No news really about him this week. It's all been about Joe Paterno. It's pretty sad. Jerry Sandusky, the final report came out. Obviously, it wasn't good. And obviously, what he's done with, you know, all the little boys in the showers and And now they're all mad at Joe Paterno. They're basically just erasing him from Penn State because apparently he knew about it and didn't say anything. And now, like, the last thing left really is his statue. And there's, I don't know if it's going to last because there's so many people that want it down for some reason. There is a small group in Penn State. The students are trying to keep it up, but there was a plane flew over not too long ago saying, if you don't take down the statue, we will. So there's plenty of people out there that want to take it down. And it's just wrong to me. I find it messed up that they're just going to tarnish it. I mean, what he did was wrong, but you're going to sit there and say that outweighs all those years of coaching and what he's done for Penn State. I mean, maybe, you know, he should be punished, but first of all, he died over this because of all the stress. And if you're going to eliminate his entire work put in at Penn State, I don't think it's right. And it's just amazing how people turn over certain incidents. So I don't know.
Exactly. Everybody was proud about the record of Penn State, how many wins they had, how many losses, how many, championships they had. You know, but everybody's really turned on this. So to me, the way I look at it, if the school wants to turn on this, put yourself at a zero for every year that Joe Paterno was there. Put yourself at a zero losing record. I mean, literally, we had 12 games and we lost 12 games. So zero wins and 12 losses for every year he's there. If you want to discredit him as the coach of your team, then put yourself at a loss for every game for the history of him being there. And if you want to talk about the championship, he won a championship while he was there, take that trophy out and give that trophy back. Because you want to, you know, as a team, as a college, you want to keep that trophy so that you can get people to come to your school and sign to come to your school from college, from, you know, high school. But all of a sudden you were like, oh, no, well, Joe Paterno, you know, we don't respect him, but he won us this trophy. But you know what? Give the trophy back. Any trophy you have, give it back and put your record at zero wins and all losses and then start fresh from there. If you really want to, you know, say that this man was the worst thing ever, and he was not part of our program, then put your program at the worst negative zero level you could start at and see what kind of recruits you can get and put it there. And that's the way I look at it. I mean, he was a great coach. This little affair, yes, it's a bad thing. If he knew about it, you know, so be it. He did it for the school's sake because, you know what? The school would not have won the championships they had won if he had released this information. They would not have been able to recruit the people they would have recruited.
Yeah, I was just saying.
He did everything he did for the school, and now they're saying that he's a bad man because he did this. You know what? The school wouldn't have had the players they had. The players that went on to the pros that were there during that period. No, that's just ridiculous, you know.
I was just thinking the same thing. If when he found out about it, it's already happened. So if he comes out with it now, that just puts either way, whether it was or anything good happened afterwards, because that story would have came out in the 90s. So it's hard. What do you do? I mean, he's just caught in a situation, and unfortunately, you know, eventually they did get caught. So it is what it is. We'll see. We'll see what happens. There's still, you know, things coming out, but let's hope that the trophy stays up there. That's something nice, at least, that everybody can kind of always remember Joe Paterno. But if they take that down, they're basically just throwing every memory you ever had out of the window. But we'll see what happens. Obviously, we'll have more on this next week for sure. Let's get on some NBA news. How about the Lakers signing Antoine Jamison today? Still in the talks to get Howard. We'll talk more about that in a minute when we get on the NBA, but Lakers getting Antoine Jamison. That was the news today. Does he still have a little bit left in the tank? I'm sure he can definitely help out that team. And we'll see who he's helping out, because it's either going to be Bynum or Howard at this point. I don't know what's going to happen. So I keep telling you guys next week, we'll let you know, but it's been going on for like 2 months. I don't even know. The deal now for Bynum and Howard, the Cavaliers have emerged. The new proposed deal would send Andrew Bynum to the Cavaliers, Anderson Varejao to the Magic, and Dwight Howard to the Lakers. And obviously some more draft picks would be going, I believe, to the Magic. I don't know how it works, obviously, because they've been on a much better deal. And I don't know how it's...
Well, they say that deal is the way it's supposed to go right now because of the deal with Jeremy Lin to the Houston Rockets. The Rockets wanted, you know, they wanted Dwight Howard, but according to, you know, sources that, you know, this may hinder the Lin deal with the money they're paying Lin, may hinder the deal to try and get Howard because, you know, the Lakers with this tri-deal working through multiple trades, they can afford them, whereas the Houston Rockets cannot. Now that they took Jeremy Lin on a straight 3-year, $25 million deal, I mean, that could hurt them. I mean,
yeah.
We're also looking at Grant Hill to the Clippers, boy. Yeah. Grant Hill went to the Clippers, and I can't even believe that. Grant Hill went to the Clippers for 2 years. It looks like they're going to give up their one of their launch deals there for $1.9 million a year and give it to Grant Hill. It's a deal that they give to you know, people coming out of college. But they're going to take that money and give it to Grant Hill to bring him over there just so they have a, you know, a three-point shooter, a responsible player, you know, in the long term. So that definitely kills me, boy. Grant Hill is still around. Still getting it going on.
We'll see. Hopefully Blake Griffin gets back healthy. That team will be good pretty soon. I mean, we'll see, obviously. It's hard to really predict anything with Howard floating around, but we'll get into NBA in just a minute. Just a couple other quick news. How about Polamalu came out? This isn't really a serious topic. I mean, the headlines seem serious. Polamalu has been lying about concussions. Basically, he took the definition of concussions as a light definition. What doctors and teams and coaches call concussions, he said, if that really is a concussion, then I probably suffered at least 9 out of 10. And continued playing and lied about it a little bit. He said, you know, there were minor lies. You know, he could play through it. It's easy for him to say how he feels than the coach telling him how he feels. So he's basically saying he's gotten actual concussions, but he's played with them. But he seems to not have any major issues. Yeah, he said, sorry about that. I had a pull. He said that, if you were knocked out to the point where you did have a concussion that was that serious, you couldn't have had the power in your head to make up a lie. So, whatever, I guess. That's been a big thing that kind of came out the last few years, concussions. I don't know why. It's never really been a big issue, but just the strength of the players these days, and it's getting a little hectic, so hopefully they can keep up with the helmet technology. I don't know. But... Polamalu, obviously one of the best defensive players so far, and on top of on the NFL subject, the NFL does start in 50 days. So I believe Hootie, this is your first official show on the Film Sports Wrap. You let the listeners know that you are a big New York Jets fan and a big Oakland Raiders fan. I don't know what's worse, but
yeah, well, I mean, we are all hyped about our. Tebow, you know, and you know what I'm really hyped about it. I mean, I'm not a fan of it, but you know, the fact that the Redskins, you know, signed Griffin III for, you know, his 4-year, $21 million contract, I'm really amped about that. I mean, it's good to see this kid come out of the college ranks and get such a great contract. you know. So I'm like really pumped over it. Like, you know, and I'm not, you know, I'm already on the Jets. You know, I'm a Tebow, I guess, fan now. And with the Raiders, I don't even know what they're going to do. I mean, it's just. It shocks me, but it doesn't matter. But, you know, well, I'm really happy over this Griffin III deal.
Well, yeah, Oakland still has Carson Palmer. I don't see him ever getting better. But if Darren McFadden can get healthy, he could be, he's one of the best, if not maybe he's top three running backs in the league, I think. He was a beast when he played, and it's only unfortunate when the injury comes. So we'll see if he can get healthy. I can't wait. September 5th, I believe, is the start opening. The Giants and the Cowboys, I believe, opened up. I believe it's a Saturday. So looking forward to that for sure. And it is about that time.
Oh, wait. Before you get about that time, what do you think about the Seahawks running back Lynch? Charged with DUI.
It's what do you think about Jason Kidd getting a DUI? It's just
he just got signed to the Knicks in his first day driving out to the Hamptons. He got the DUI crash in Super Bowl. What is that? I really don't understand these players with these $1 million contracts really doing what they do. You know, I thought Marshawn
get a one thing I have to say is they can get a cab, and the second thing I have to say is that the Knicks are just retarded. Their one issue with their team in the last decade has been no point guard. Who did they have last year? Mike Bibby. They finally get a point guard, Jeremy Lin. He's good. All right, I understand the Rockets put some pressure on him. But you finally have an opportunity to get a good point guard. I mean, you already put the effort in, the time in, the money in to get Carmelo Anthony, Amari Stoudemire, all these players. And instead, you just settle for Raymond Felton and Jason Kidd. Driving around getting drunk. I know that's not the real deal, but he did do that. It's ridiculous, but... Well, the Knicks are just going to continue to suffer, so... Yes, it is another great edition of the Southern Sports Wrap with the Zen Man and Hootie. And I have a great stat for you guys. The Miami Marlins are leading the entire major leagues in stolen bases with 88. Emilio Bonifacio was leading the league by a lot with 20. He got injured, came back for about a month, and was fourth. And stolen bases. So they have 88. Second most is 80. So that's my start of the week. You have a great start of the week.
My start of the week is going to be Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant, the man that says that his current team can beat the dream team. Kobe Bryant's shooting percentage in the first two games coming through, you know, into this Olympic dream team, he is shooting, you know, 29%, 5 for 17. From the three-point range, he's shooting 20%, 2 for 10. I mean, Kobe is just horrific on the floor as part of this Olympic team. But he's saying, you know, out there publicly, that this team could be the original dream team with Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, because they are more athletic. I mean, like Kobe, you know, like you need to start putting more ball, you know, put the ball through the bucket a little more. You know, this is my style. Because you're not shooting. You're shooting worse than everybody on the team, to be honest. Deron Williams is shooting it. 45%. You got Kevin Love shooting at 50%, Russell Westbrook shooting at 40%. You are the worst shooter on the team at this point through the first two games, and you're saying that your team could beat them. Well, maybe the rest of these players who are shooting better than you can beat them, but you're not part of that team that can beat them because you're shooting horrible, 20% from the three-point line and 29% overall over the first two games, and you've thrown up at least 30 shots. That's horrible. That's my stat of the week.
That's not what I asked, Troy.
Isn't it?
No.
Isn't it?
Yes.
Well, let's just move on to the next task. With the NBA in mind, just give you guys a quick recap of all the trades going on. This is mixed with whatever new came out today in the last few days. Here's the rundown of the important acquisitions for these teams. Grant Hill, like you said, signed with the Clippers for 2 years. Probably one of the biggest ones so far. Nets acquired Joe Johnson from the Hawks. Jason Kidd just signing with the Knicks, $3.9 million. Jameer Nelson re-signing with the Magic for about 3 years. Darren Williams re-signing with the Nets, 5 years, $98 million. Steve Nash joining the Lakers for 2 draft picks, signing 3 years, $27 million. Kevin Garnett back with the Celtics, 3 years, $34 million. Gerald Wallace re-signs with the Nets for 4 years, $40 million. Michael Beasley, he's moving a little bit. He joins the Suns, 3 years, $18 million. If you don't remember Michael Beasley, he was moved to Minnesota, and now he's going to the Suns. The Heat signing Rashard Lewis and Ray Allen officially. Ray Allen, two years, $12 million that he was going to sign with the Celtics. I guess he some of that South Beach life. I don't know. But Chris Humphreys, I knew he was good, but a lot of money. 2 years, $24 million with the Nets. The Nets also signed Brooke Lopez. They're both in the contract. And Dwight Howard. And honestly, these guys are good. The Nets will be good this year, even without Howard. They got everybody else they need. They're going to have a solid starting five. Chris Humphreys, Brooke Lopez are quality centers. If they stay healthy, they're going to be a good team. It's signing Jason Terry, 3 years, $15 million. Mavericks lately acquired Elton Brand and O.J. Mayo. Elton Brand coming off from the Philadelphia 76ers and O.J. Mayo with the Grizzlies. Podcast acquired Brendan Hamilton. Frankly, not to see their team. But Knicks, Raymond Felton. They could have had Jeremy Lin. But they're going to the Phoenix Suns. I believe it's 4 years, $58 million. And yes, Jeremy Lin is now a Houston Rocket. It was 3 years, $25.1 million, I believe. So he is now a Rocket. I don't know why they wanted him so bad. But hey, interesting news about that, though. The Knicks felt... Well, not only do we have about 150 Jeremy Lin items, mostly jerseys and shirts, around the store that we now have to put on clearance, but the Knicks fan base was outraged that they could not see Jeremy Lin play anymore. The Knicks actually signed a deal with the city of Houston, I believe it was, or the team. So now everybody that lives in New York actually can watch the Houston Rockets games locally to see Jeremy Lin. That's a little interesting, actually. And just quickly on Team USA, I believe you have the schedule, do you not?
Yes, I do. The men's Olympic basketball schedule. We are playing we're playing France on the 29th. That's the first game officially. We're playing France at 2:30 on the 29th of July, Sunday. And then Tuesday, the 31st of July, we're playing Tunisia. And then after that, we're playing Nigeria on August 2nd. And then we're playing Lithuania on August 4th. And then we're going to Argentina on August 6th. And then after that is when the when we get into the finals of everything, and if we're there, we're there. August 8th, 10th, and 12th is the finals. See where we get to, but we'll be there, and I'm not even worried.
Yeah, I'm not really either. I don't even. I mean, if we had an age limit under 25, we'd still win. But it's just a rule that makes no sense to me. So that's why
To tell you the truth, I'm all for it. I think we really should go back to the old rule. You know what? We are the best. We are by far the best basketball country there is. So it doesn't matter if we. I mean, 25. Come on,
I just there's no reason for the rule.
If these kids come out of high school, like bad as could be, like Kobe. Kobe came out of high school the baddest person on the planet. So what? I mean, he came out of high school at 18. That gives him 7 years to play in the Olympics. That gives him 2 Olympics to play.
I'm not saying, it's unfair. I'm saying it doesn't make any sense.
It's fairer to the other countries that play against us, and that's
it's
the
what
way
it
I look
is.
At.
What do you want? I mean, it is the Olympics. It was invented. The best countries were. Like, what do you want me to say? Like, if you're starting to bend the rules, what's the point? You know?
I wanted to bend down because I don't want when we win it. I don't want when we win every gold medal in the basketball tournament. I don't want it to be like, oh, well, you got this, you got this, you got this. I'd rather have it just, you know, we got all the same things. You guys got all the same thing. Your players versus our players.
I believe the women's basketball teams won like 5 straight medals, gold medals or something.
Yeah, they have. That's the whole point. We're not going to lose no matter what. It doesn't matter. We're not going to lose in basketball ever. So why does Kobe have to get another ring?
There's plenty of other tournaments in different track. There's other countries that are probably better. It's all about the medals.
But the only people that are complaining about this are the NBA players.
And me.
Nobody in any other sport, nobody in the rings, nobody in the gymnastics, nobody's complaining about this except the NBA players who want another gold medal. Like Kobe.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm saying.
It's an honor to play for your country. Especially Kobe, shit, he's done everything else. I mean, this is something that, I mean, he's done everything. He wants to represent this country.
He has one already.
I know he does.
So why does he need another one? And why does he need
You can't get tired of, well, first of all, 1 versus 5 rings, but still, 1, you can't have enough gold medals. I mean, that's something that people take pride of.
I need 3 gold medals because the 2 are just not
We gotta move on.
All right, what you got?
I do not have the. I don't have top 3 plays. I'm gonna cut it out for a while until we get back to the NFL because MLB is the only sport that's been playing right now, and just really, it's difficult because YouTube doesn't like MLB. I don't know, you know. But I do have a new segment on the radio show. If y'all remember from the NFL, Sentinel's NFL pregame show. How about the? That is going to be officially the new injury report that we're going to have for the show. But we do have a caller on the line. Hello, caller. You're live with the Zip Man and Hootie.
Zip Man, what's going on, brother? It's Evil Rob.
Hey, what's going on, Evil? How you doing?
Not too bad. I heard you guys talking about the Olympics here, and I had to you know, throw my two cents into the ring.
Hey, what do you got for it?
Well, the whole thing with the Olympics right now being like the basketball program with the NBA players, I can understand it staying that way because there's a lot of players that haven't had the opportunity to play in the Olympics to get that medal because they couldn't play when they were in college because all the pros are already playing. So there has to be some sort of a mold or some way to form it to where you bring some college players in and some pro players and you mix it. But I do think that if we go back to the college days where it's all the amateur players, we don't have too much of a chance because you have to remember that we're playing against national teams, that these guys play together all over the country, all over the world, you know, Argentina and Brazil, and, well, some of them aren't that good, but some of them really are.
Well, that's like the point I made earlier. I mean,
what's that?
Well, the Olympics, I mean, we don't know how these guys are going to play. In the NBA, if they're playing at a high level, they're going to be playing at a high level for the Olympics. For the college, I mean, it's kind of taking a risk.
Right. Plus, you know, the other thing you got to look at, too, is with the college players, they have a lot more to lose because of a serious injury. If they have something like what happened to Blake Griffin happen to them, they could lose their draft status. They could lose a million-dollar contract. These guys already have a multi-million-dollar contract, so they really, if they lose something playing the Olympics, they still get paid.
Correct. Good point.
At the same time, if they're at the end of a contract, like Mark Cuban was saying, he doesn't want to let any of his players that play for other countries because he doesn't want to allow the injury effect to come into play because he's like, how am I going to lose a player for the Olympics and when they're not playing for my team? You know, it's a big shock to the system. I mean, we need to, that's why I think we should actually let the younger players, the ones that aren't in the system yet. I mean, what's the real difference about letting a college player get injured? You know what? He's never made it to the pros yet already. I mean, what? We're really that worried about how many million dollars he will make when he gets to the next level?
He is.
That's the point. he's worried about that. But at the same time, it's like, you weigh it up. As a person is going to go to the next level, you weigh it up. You say, do I want to go out there and get that gold medal? Or do I want to not risk it and get that contract? I can get that contract and the gold medal. Or I could not get that contract.
I mean, this whole argument's about a possibility. I mean, how often does an injury happen where you're done for your career? Like, yeah, it happens, but you're only talking about playing for how many games? 8 or 9 games in the Olympics? Very, very unlikely.
Exactly. But you know what? I think that the people that the NBA players have more to risk when they have these multi-million-dollar contracts already, as opposed to these college players who are just coming out, and we still put out the best college players and the best NBA players out of college than any other country out there. So,
well, they're not going to play. The whole point is, once they get to play, they're not going to play.
If you get injured, you're not going to play. But if you're an NBA player and you get injured, you're still not going to play. So are you willing to give up your career for the gold medal? I mean, it's the same thing. It comes down to the same thing, but I think we should just, like, knock it down to these college players. They will be more enthusiastic when they go out there. I mean, I think when I watch, me personally, when I watch the Olympics this year, I'm going to think that Kobe and LeBron are just, they're pushing it. They're not playing their best because they're worried about getting injured because it's going to affect what they make in the future. Whereas I know if these kids come straight out of college, they're just going to be out there playing to get that gold medal. It doesn't matter. Because these guys that already know what that $1 billion contract is like, they're not going to risk anything to affect that billion-dollar contract.
I kind of disagree with. They're going to play hard. You know,
LeBron is not going to play hard in the Olympics. Because you know what? If he gets injured, that affects everything. And his contract is gone. And he's not going to worry about it.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's an argument that can obviously go on forever. You can do whatever you want, I guess. But at the end of the day, I think it's just the Olympics, and the best players should be on the court, period. So that's just where I'm at.
Well, the whole sphere of the Olympics started with amateur athletes. So, you know, I honestly think it should be amateur athletes still. And we weren't the ones that broke that rule or that broke that unwritten rule. It was all the, like I said before, all the other countries that sit there and put their national teams in the Olympics. And we had to do something to compete. So we formed the Dream Team back in the day and decided to say, screw you, we're going to take
days. They put their national teams in the Olympics, and our college team could have beat them, but we just decided to be like, you know, like, we're one up on you. Here's our national team. If you want to put your national teams out there, we'll put our national team out there. And it wasn't
exactly.
Even a matter. I mean, our college teams could have beat them hands down. But, you know, it was one of those, it was like, you know what, if you want to do that, we're going to do that. You're going to put your national team out there? Here's what we got as a national team, and it was cream like nothing else. And these guys were beating them by, like, what, 40, 50 points per game?
Exactly. It was actually – it was almost hard to watch because you almost felt bad for all these countries just getting destroyed. It's like we just dropped a nuclear bomb on them every single time.
Exactly. But now the question is, does this new supposed Dream Team that Kobe's on, are they going to drop bombs on everybody every time like the original Dream Team? We will win. I have no doubt we will come home with the, you know, with the gold medal. That's not a doubt. Question is, with Kobe saying that the original Dream Team was not athletic the way they are, will they come home the way we came home the first time?
I don't think so, because I don't think that this team has as much heart as the original team did. The original team had all the heart in the world. They were, you know, all but I think one player from that team is a Hall of Famer. And I think that's really? The only one that's Christian Laettner.
Christian Laettner.
Oh. Wow. Yeah, he probably is not. Yeah, I haven't even checked.
So,
yeah.
You know, right now, how many of these players that you look at that's on this team are going to be Hall of Famers? I see maybe 4 or 5 out of the 15 that's on the team. So, you know, I don't think that this team has the same amount of heart and drive, but skill-wise, they're right there.
Yeah, just the whole argument I said. You know, we can't guard a lot of their players, but anybody in the Dream Team really have an answer for LeBron James or Kevin Durant? Not really. For the air, Chris Paul, like, you know, he can't really stop him either way, so I don't know. Honestly, what Kobe said was perfectly honest. I mean, we could beat them, but it's not going to happen in a seven-game series, like you said, never. But they're both high-level teams. If, you know, clearly if one team was shooting a little better, they were going to win. So I don't know. It's just a stupid subject, I guess. It's been going on way too long.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
All right, guys. Well, I'm going to move on to my final segment. Oh, no, actually, I started my – you just messed up the whole baby, man. I was starting off my injury report. The baby's going to come back on. That baby is now my new injury report I got going on. And obviously, pretty much only injuries in the MLB. There's a few, actually, in the NBA. But here's just what I've had so far. I'm going to start getting more in-depth in sports next week. But if your MLB injuries right now, Nick Johnson for the Orioles, 60-day DL. Big Poppy just placed on the DL today, 15 days with an Achilles. Strain Jack Wilson, 15 days with a finger. Jose Bautista, 15 days with a wrist injury. About Joey Votto, Reds, he's out at least 4 weeks with a knee injury. Chad Billingsley with the Dodgers, he's on the 15-day DL with a shoulder injury. Giancarlo Stanton, he's on the 15-day DL, but he still doesn't have stitches out of his knee. When he does, he'll start rehab. Matt Capps for the Twins, rotator cuff, 15 days DL. Jason Bay is starting to play some minor league ball, so he'll be back up with the Mets shortly. And Jabba Chamberlain is starting to throw. He's still on a 60-day DL, but he's starting to throw for minor league too, so he'll be back for the Yankees. There's a few injuries for the NBA. I know Kyrie Irving is going to be out for 2 months, I believe, with hand surgery. And I don't know. I don't know if Dwight Howard's been injured or not. I think he's back. And I think Rose is going to miss most of this for the Bulls. But that brings me into just my final segment of the show. The MLB. It is the only sport currently going on right now. I mean, I guess USA Olympics do, but. Just speaking about MLB.
What you want? What you want to know about the MLB? The Phillies are still taking losses. The Marlins are still looking a little better. The Yankees are still in first place. So,
well, let's move into my standings.
Oh, now we're going to the standings. All right, well, the Yankees are still in first place. That would definitely be the first part of the standings.
Yes, the Yankees are usually the first team I saw because the AL East is the first division on the screen. So in the AL East, the Yankees do have a whopping 10.5-game lead on Tampa, Boston, and Baltimore with a 57-34 record. Toronto, 12.5 games back. In the AL Central,
so Chi-Town still in the running?
Is it your
thing?
I'm
hearing you. I'm hearing you on an echo right now, so I don't know if it's
me.
I'm doing. Yeah.
You got the stand.
But, Oh, no, you're not coming back. But you're looking at the Chi-Town. You see how they've been saying that they've been doing better without Ozzy?
Oh, Ozzy said that, I thought.
Oh, they've been saying that they've been doing better now that Ozzy's out of there. I mean, I haven't looked at where they stand in the standings right now, but... Apparently, they said
up by 2.5 games.
Up by 2.5?
Yeah, sorry about that, Rob.
Sorry about that, Eva. I don't know if you were talking. I had you muted. I don't know. There's a lot of noise going on, and I didn't hear anybody.
So they're,
you're unmuted, Eva. You're unmuted.
Yeah, Chicago's in first place.
And they're saying they're doing a lot better with, you know, whatever.
Well, yeah, I wasn't put it. He wasn't. I mean, he just moved teams, and that's it. I don't know. It just, yeah, it was a simple statement by Ozzy saying that the White Sox are better without him. So, just moving on, though, to the rest of the standings. I'm not echoing, am I, guys?
No.
You're good now.
All right. My phone, man, that's acting like I don't have that. So. But, yeah, the AL Central White Sox are 2.5. But, they should win the division. We'll see. I did pick the White Sox to win it, though, for my midway, my all-star predictions. So we'll see how that ends up. The AL West, the Texas Rangers, 5.5 game lead on the Angels. Angels are firing all cylinders lately. I can see that division definitely coming down to the end. Mike Trout, Mark Trumbo, and obviously the machine, Albert Pujols. That team's still pretty good, so their pitching's still pretty good, too. So we'll see if the Angels make a run. I think they will. Oakland, 8 games back in distance, actually. I don't see Oakland having a chance to beat these two teams, but in the wild card. And Seattle, only 6.5 games back. So I don't know. They're pretty much useless, I guess. In the National League, the Nationals still running things in the National League East. There's four of you. You have a Brave. They're in.
They're in first or second in the wild card race.
We'll check on that in just a second. Looking at the other teams, they would be first because the Dodgers would be the second team with a 49-44 record, and has a 49-40. But I'll check on that in just a second. Mets 8 games back. Marlins 9.5 games back. And it kind of does please me to say the Phillies are 14 games back. It's about time they step down and this division is totally flip-flopped from like 2 years ago. It's ridiculous. But impressive NL Central. Pirates and the Reds are atop the NL Central. Excuse me. Obviously, I picked the Reds to win this division, but Votto out for 4 weeks, and McCutchen has been the hottest hitter in baseball. I can see Pittsburgh definitely taking the reins and controlling this division in the next few weeks.
Who would have thought they would have had a chance in the beginning of the season?
Division is the NL West. Surprising that San Fran is actually atop.
Yeah. LA started off on fire. At the beginning of the year, LA was on fire, and now San Francisco just turned around and come out.
It's not really. I mean, San Fran's 50 and 40. I mean, that's an average record, but the Dodgers, they've just been injured. Matt Kemp is finally back, but he's been on two DL stints, and Andre Ethier has also been injured. So, and now Chad Billingsley's in. So it's obviously a big reason why the Dodgers, but I think in the end the Dodgers will take that division. They're a lot stronger than the San Francisco Giants. But checking on the wild card, which I think actually the Giants might have the Dodgers. I guess, yeah, the wild card looks like this. In the AL, the Angels and the Detroit Tigers are atop. The Indians are only a half game out. Oakland's actually only a half game out of the wild card. And Baltimore, Boston, Tampa Bay are all one game back. The Blue Jays are 3 games back. And looking at the NL, Cincinnati and Pittsburgh. Did I have it wrong, really? I guess. Oh, yeah, because Cincinnati and Pittsburgh were tied. That's right. Cincinnati and Pittsburgh. Cincinnati and Pittsburgh, one of them, they're tied. So they put them both here. Obviously, one of them is the bullet division, and one of them is the wild card. Technically, one of them is Atlanta. If that makes any sense. And then Atlanta's one game back, and then the Dodgers are 3 games back, St. Louis 4.5 games back, so on and so forth. The Marlins are only 6.5 games back, so it's not too bad. Hopefully we get Stanton back soon.
Why would you even mention them?
Well, you know what the title of the show is. It's Google Sports Rap, right?
Yeah. Wrapped around the Marlins. Apparently wrapped around the Miami Heat. Gotcha.
And, looking at the stat leaders really quickly, Andrew McCutchen leading all of baseball on batting average. His batting average actually dropped 6 points from yesterday. He still had batting .369. Melky Cabrera, the All-Star MVP, .353. Tied with him is Mike Trout from the Angels. Mike Trout looked like he could be the Rookie of the Year. I do want to say last show I got the Trumbo mixed up. I did say Trumbo might win the Rookie of the Year. That was, I meant to say Mike Trout. I do make a few mistakes here and there. But your favorite player, Carlos Ruiz, is fourth in batting average, batting .350, and David Wright batting .346. Your home run leaders look like this. In baseball, Adam Dunn leading all of baseball in home runs, actually tied with Josh Hamilton with 28. Jose Bautista, 27. Ryan Braun, Mark Trumbo with 26 apiece. And I just want to look at this. They're talking about possibly Andrew McCutchen being the Triple Crown winner this year. I just wanted to check out his stats. Andrew McCutchen in home runs is actually second. Four behind Ryan Braun. And RBIs,
he is one behind Ryan Braun. So he actually does have a pretty good chance at a Triple Crown. But here are the schedules. Looks like we are having technical difficulties
And I just want to finish the show off for you guys really quick. Last thing I wanted to get onto was just the weekend schedules. Normally I do my shows Thursday night, so the weekend schedules are Friday through Sunday. So I'm just going to keep it that way. Friday's matchups, and this will obviously bring it through the weekend. You have the Braves at the Nationals, Orioles at Indians, White Sox at Tigers, Marlins visiting the Pirates, Giants at Phillies, Dodgers at Mets, Brewers at Reds, Mariners at Rays, Blue Jays at Red Sox, Twins at Royals, Cubs at the Cardinals, Astros at Diamondbacks, the Rockies going to visit the Padres, Yankees at Athletics, and also the Rangers going to LA to play the Angels. So that should be a definitely good series, good divisional matchup. A lot of good divisional matchups going on this weekend. Some good baseball going on. So join me on another edition of the Sizzle Sports Wrap. This has been the Zen Man and Hootie reporting live. And with that, I want to say thank you for listening in. Good luck to the USA Olympics. I'll see you guys next Thursday night at 11 o'clock. Thank you all.